This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. District Council 37 is the city's largest union of municipal employees with 125,000 members and almost 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. This evening on the show, we are going to be joined later in the, by Leslie Tolfe. She's going to be talking about a new graphic novel that she's written and is out talking to young people about activism. And before we do that, we're going to talk to Raul Rodriguez, who is DC 37's Director of the Office of Community Partnerships. That's a new office. We're going to be talking about student debt. And good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Chris. How are you today?
I am okay. I'm the student debt program, the issue of student debt and how it affects our members is something that we have been proactively addressing for the past, 18 months or so. And we're talking about getting members involved in seminars that help them reduce their student debt. Yes?
That's correct, Chris. So if I may, I wanted to give you a little bit of a background history of how we've gotten to this point.
Okay, go ahead.
Here at DC 37. So as you know, the AFSCME International Convention is every 2 years. So this past one was in Las Vegas. The one before that was in Chicago. The Next Way Initiative introduced a resolution that they wanted AFSCME to look into take a deeper look into the situation of student debt and how it was affecting the younger generation here at AFSCME, right?
Right.
So that resolution was introduced. An initiative then very shortly after took place between AFSCME and Jobs for Justice, and they created this curriculum to actually educate members on the options that they have.
Jobs for Justice is a community organizing, a community group, nonprofit organization that basically exists to help folks be armed with knowledge about various issues, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Had a program? Is that what you're saying?
So they got together with AFSCME,
okay,
and they share resources and knowledge, and they came together with this curriculum as far as educating members as far as the options that they will have for two pieces, right? So one of the pieces that they wanted to educate members is on what income-driven repayment plans are available for them depending on their individual circumstances, and then showing them the information as far as how they can then qualify for the Public Service Forgiveness Loan Program, which means that after 10 years of making on-time payments, your balance of your loan is forgiven, not discharged. There's a big difference, and it's a big misconception that people have between discharge and forgiven. Discharge means that you might have a tax implication. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about actually being forgiven. So it doesn't matter how much money is left on the loan, on the federal student loan, that balance will be forgiven.
Hold on. Just want to make sure I understand this. You're saying that one of the things that many folks don't know is that if you are arduous about paying your loan on time for 10 years, there is a way to have the balance of that loan, as you say, forgiven, which means it goes away.
It goes away with no tax implications. Now, in order to have that, in order to be able to reap that reward, that benefit after 10 years, there's a few steps that need to go into place. One of them, for our members in particular, it will be attending one of our student debt workshops, where we're going to give them the detailed tools that they will need to be able to be in a qualifying income-driven repayment plan based on the particular unique situation, and then be able to apply for this forgiveness program as being a public service employee. So this is big, Chris. This is not something that is this offered to absolutely everyone. This part of the second part that we're talking about the forgiveness program, this is specifically for public employees only.
So we are holding student debt workshops and seminars. And when is the next one that we're doing, or how often do we do this?
So it's not very often, Chris. We don't do them every month, okay? But the next one that we have coming up is on February 22nd, and it's very easy ways to actually register for this workshop. If you go under the DC37 website, www.dc37.net, on the bottom right, where it says Programs and Services, you'll be able to see a tab that says DC37 Student Debt Program. Once you click on that tab, it will throw you into our page, which has a ton of information, okay? And it has a big pinkish, almost pink, reddish button that says Student Debt Workshop. Click here for the upcoming register, and you go through the registration form.
Okay, so once you let me just February 23rd is the 22nd. Next.
22nd.
So I'm sorry. February 22nd is the next student debt workshop at DC37 headquarters in Lower Manhattan, 125 Barclay Street. And the way to access that workshop, or the way to get registered for that workshop, is to go to the DC37 website. And there is, right on the homepage of the website, they're talking about student debt. You just click on that button, right?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So I'm sorry I interrupted you. Repetition is very important here. So I just want to make clear. February 22nd is the date. It's at Union Headquarters. You can become a participant by going to the DC37 website. Go ahead, Raul.
So once you register, you will receive an email with the next steps as far as how to prepare to come to the workshop. After you attend the workshop, you will also receive an email with next steps. So this is something that, you know, here at DC37, the initiative was to do this here at DC37. The initiative came from Jamila Joseph. So she actually really put together a rigorous system on how to not only present the information, but follow up with the member. Any questions that they might have, there's an email address that they will receive that they can email back and communicate any questions and concerns. And, you know, the reality is, Chris, that we are not experts in this subject. Okay, we're not financial advisors, we're not financial aid consultants, but what we identified was such a huge need, you know, out of the 125,000 plus members that we have, there's about 40,000 members that are struggling with some sort of financial student debt loan that they're having. And we at DC37 have acknowledged that and said, you know what, we have to do something about this because this is no longer a working class issue. This is a problem with the system itself. And if you look at national statistics, Chris, you know, the average person that graduates from a 4-year let's not even talk about graduation. The average undergrad debt is $35,000. $35,000.
Yep.
Okay. Now, the U.S. currently, we're not going to talk about worldwide, just currently the U.S. holds over $1.3 trillion of student debt.
$1.3 trillion is a lot of debt, and some of that is yours, DC37 members, and we want to help you reduce that. There's a student debt workshop on February 22nd at DC37 headquarters in Lower Manhattan. To find out more, go to the DC37 website, www.dc37.net/student-debt. Raul, the Office of Community Partnerships, you've been there since October. What are you working on, and what is the goal of the office?
So let me start with the goal of the office real quick. We bring in a labor-to-neighbor approach to our communities to work and build coalitions that with organizations that are addressing a lot of the issues that our membership is facing in their particular respective communities. Now, some of the things that we have already been working on, we're working with the Coalition Food for Advocates to have the mayor and the city council finally approve, put it in the budget, and pass it as far as providing free universal feeding for all New York City public school students.
That's great.
One thing that we have been working on is with CUNY Rising. CUNY Rising is a coalition, and we've been working together with them to make sure that students in CUNY schools have free tuition. Now, I know the governor has announced this as part of his State of the State address. So I think we can take a little bit of credit by saying that, you know, we're part of that coalition that's been fighting to make sure that our young students that are going to school don't have to worry about the stress of also having to deal with tuition payments.
Raul Rodriguez is the director of the Office of Community Partnerships. It certainly is. Community partnerships are very important. It is a win for our members to be involved in the communities and for us to be involved in the communities. Thank you very much for being on, and we'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. We're on Sundays at 8 p.m., and then we rebroadcast on Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. The next guest is Leslie Tolf, who has spent the last 20 years fighting for working men and women, leading a nonprofit benefits organization called Union Plus. But activist art has always been her passion. A graphic designer for environmental groups after college, she was determined to get back to promoting social change through the arts, and she has a graphic novel called When the Rules Aren't Right, which she describes as a labor of love, and which we will let her talk about for as long as she wants on State of the Union. Welcome to the show, Leslie.
Thank you, Chris. We miss you in D.C.
I've been back for a couple of years in New York. New York. And I miss D.C. It's a lovely city. I'm not sure I miss the current climate.
Yeah, I think you picked the right time to move.
Back to New York. Well, when the rules aren't right, tell us about it.
So, The Rules Aren't Right is a graphic novel, and for those of you who don't know what a graphic novel is, it's...
There are a lot of pictures.
It's a lot of pictures. It's like a cartoon book, there are a lot of famous ones out there. John Lewis did a couple on the Civil Rights Movement, which are fantastic, but mine is about union history and social activism. It's a story of a 12-year-old self-absorbed teenager. You and I know what that's like, having girls. And she goes with her Nana back in time, in a time machine, to see what life was like before unions, before feminism, before civil rights. So each chapter is about something different in union history. We've got a chapter related to pay equity, where we highlight DC 37. I'm hoping that it is a book for this era. Unfortunately, we need the new generation to understand what we do.
Well, you spoke recently at the union. I heard you speak, and you made a point that I thought was right on. The reason this book is so valuable is because there is no education in the schools to teach a young or to teach a younger generation about where we came from and the role of unions in American life.
People in New York know this, that, you know, probably half of us grew up in a union household with a union mom or union dad, certainly grandparents, but in this era, only one or two out of 10 kids have any union family. And there is no background about union history. There is no background about social justice. So I wrote When the Rules Aren't Right to kind of educate people as to, all the things that working people did before before their time.
So, as you say, there is a young woman who's the character, who's the main character,
right?
Who gets taken through a time machine, to points before these rights, before unions existed,
right?
So that she gets an appreciation of just what unions and activism has brought us.
There are a couple messages. There's a chapter on the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire. Of course, everybody knows about that. And we talk about health and safety and how unions really were in the forefront of that. There's a chapter on pay equality, which unfortunately has not significantly improved since the 60s and 70s. We're still, women and minorities are still at 80 cents on the dollar. There's a chapter on international labor, child labor. There's a chapter on farm workers and pesticides. And then the cool thing about the book at the end of it is a call to action. There's a quiz for kids to take about what they're passionate about. There are resources to look at. There's a timeline of all the things that happened in union history. So the idea of the book is not just to read it and look at the pretty pictures, but to really get excited about it.
And the chapter on pay inequity is a chapter that I believe DC 37 plays a role in. And why don't you take us through what involves Local 1549, involves a suit.
Yeah.
Tell us about that case.
So I'm not going to be as eloquent as some of your members on it, and I met a lot of them last night who filled me in on some of the details. But this is one of the many successes that DC 37 has had over the years. In the 1980s, there was a group of police 911 operators. They're still there, Local 1549, and they're the early responders, so the people that take the phone calls and pass them along to EMS. And it was a group of mainly women of color who were not making the same as their fire department male counterparts. And it doesn't seem too radical now to think about that, but they went on strike, did a lawsuit, and actually got some back pay. It was one of the largest pay settlements in the country. I will say, and what people corrected me on last night, was there still is pay inequity.
Yes, there is.
And so, you know, the thing that I always say to people is this is not a sprint. You know, if you look at the Women's March, we all got really excited on Saturday, and my 21-year-old and my 25-year-old were marching with me. But this is a marathon. And for those of us who've been at this for two or three or four decades, you know we are two steps forward, one step back, hopefully.
Right. Well, let's talk about the Women's March, because the number that I'm seeing is 3.3 million from all across the country, the largest demonstration in the history of America. Any thoughts about where we go from here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I was there. I was a captain in Washington, and both my kids were marshals. The exciting thing for me, and again, why I wrote the book, When the Rules Aren't Right, is that the new generation is fired up and ready to go. Now, what that means exactly is something different, because, you know, part of the new generation is it's not just signing a contract or a petition on MoveOn.org, as much as I love them, right? It's taking significant actions. And going to a march and spending 5 hours, you know, standing and marching with your tribe is huge. Now, and there's a bunch of things out there. The Women's March, womensmarch.com has 100 actions in 100 days. They're suggesting the first one is to go local and write your state senator or House of Representative to talk to them about the issue you care about. I'm a big advocate of having the younger generation run for office. Let's do it. You know, there's no sense in being shy.
DC 37 is part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, and part of one of the things that we are focused on is developing, identifying folks who are active and want to run, and supporting them. And that, you know, I have to say though, living in a world of social media these days, on the DC 37 Facebook page the other day, someone asked the question of, why are you guys so involved in politics?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a member mm-hmm. who was suggesting that politics, you know, wasn't making the connection between mm-hmm. politics, you know, dictates our lives in many ways. Mm-hmm. And that if you're not in the game, you are, you know, what is it? If you're not at the table, you're on the menu. and that is something that still needs to be, you know, still needs to be pushed and explained so that people understand why politics is so important in their work lives in terms of, you know, the rules that protect them in the workplace, the wages that they're making, the contracts that we're able to negotiate. What are your thoughts about the connection between politics and everyday people?
Well, I mean, I think it's huge if you think about it. And one of the reasons I became an activist in my 20s, I went to University of Michigan, and I was canvassing for a bottle bill. And we won the bottle bill by 10 votes. And it was door-to-door canvassing, right? It was a referendum on the ballot. And it really made me realize that, oh, if I believe in something and I'm willing to work at it, things can change. And fast forward several decades later, you know, Michigan lost to Trump by 10,407 votes. That's nothing.
Right.
That's a couple more knocks on the door. So all politics is local. All politics is having conversations one-on-one with people. And I think the important thing that we miss out on, and what I talked about last night, was having the conversation. You know, this book, When the Rules Aren't Right, is a great kind of venue to sit and read with your 15-year-old and say, this is why it's important that I am fighting for your rights. So you have health care. So you have a retirement plan, you know, so that you're getting your $15 minimum wage. And I think these kids get it. They just don't know what to do because, of course, you know, the alternative models of unionism are still being described.
Right. How does one access the book? How does one get the book?
So I would recommend going to my website, whentherulesaren'treight.com. That's whentherulesaren'treight.com. It's also on Amazon, but Amazon takes 45% of my profit. So for those of you who care about me as a small entrepreneur, just a small union activist, if you can go to whentherulesaren'treight.com, that would be great. Thanks.
We're talking with Leslie Tolfe, who is the author of When the Rules Aren't Right. This is the DC 37 radio show, State of the Union. Want to thank you very much for coming by and talking with us. The book is called When the Rules Aren't Right. And Leslie Tolfe, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. Keep up the good work.
All right. We'll be right back.
Do you have physical or mental health issues related to exposure to the 911 attacks? You may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program, which provides for medical treatment at no out-of-pocket cost. For more information, call 212-815-1685.
That's just about all the time we've got for this show. I want to thank my guests, Raul Rodriguez, who's director of the Office of Community Partnerships at DC 37, and Leslie Tolfe, who is the author of a graphic novel called When the Rules Aren't Right, a graphic novel for young people to get involved with activism. Anything you heard in the show, drop us a line, stateoftheunion@dc37.net. I'm Chris Policano. The engineer is Andrea Minocchio. The producer is Rudy Orozco. Until next time, ciao.